So it's amazing how God just works things out, because you know I've been going through this these verses that I wanted to talk about today, and just we started singing the songs this morning, and like every song was like, oh my goodness, that is God speaking right there. He's like pointing every one of those songs. I'm like, that's it, God. That's what you're talking about. That's what you're telling me. And it's just amazing how God confirms things. So this morning I'm going to be talking about Matthew 13:44-46, and I don't know, it's kind of if you guys were there a couple weeks ago at Corsica, it's going to be review for you guys, because I talked a little bit about this there, and I had talked there, and God just would not let it go. He just kept putting it on my heart that these verses. So for you that were there, you'll probably hear a few things that sounds very familiar, which I have to give a shout out to Amber and April and all the ladies that helped out with that craft, because 5 minutes before, like, I'm like, hey, we need a craft. And they jumped right on it, and they were amazing at getting things thrown together craft-wise. So if you ever need anything done quickly in the area of crafts, see these guys. But so I just wanted to start out by talking about, so if you look at TV shows and things that are going on in our society today, we are so caught up in treasures. So if you bring up, I mean, everybody watches Discovery Channel, History Channel, they know like Gold Rush, Cooper's Island, Cooper's Treasure, but all these shows are about people just dropping everything and dumping their lives into chasing after these treasures that they think are out there. And so these guys get pretty intense when it comes to looking for these treasures. They are diehards. But even more so, you know, as we look at today, we have the Easter egg hunt coming up, right? Well, even more than these guys being diehards. You want to bring up the when it comes to Easter egg hunting and finding those treasures, those kids will find almost every last egg. The lawnmower finds a couple of them. But So the verses I want to look at today are in, if we go to Matthew 13:44-46, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes out and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding the one pearl of great value, went out and sold all that he had had and bought it." So we look at this, these parables, and it sounds pretty straightforward. You know, we look at, who is it talking about? It's talking about the kingdom of heaven like treasures. But then it talks about the man who found it. And kind of as I was doing my studies, there's kind of a couple different views on who that man was, what that parable was talking about, who that man was. But if you look at it, I really believe that the man that it's talking about is us, the believers in Christ, who fall under the reign of God. And if we look at the kingdom, that kingdom is so the verse it says the kingdom of heaven, and you kind of got, and if you look throughout a lot of the other scriptures, you see where it talks about the kingdom of God. And pretty much it's one and the same, because back in their time, they took God's name very seriously. And so when they spoke, they would always reference God's name as like heaven or the kingdom of heaven. And so when we see that, it really is talking about the kingdom of God. So we really have to see, you know, to really understand this verse, what is the kingdom of God that it's calling the greatest treasure? Because it's pretty serious when you're talking about a treasure beyond measure. So if we look at what it's talking about in this passage, the kingdom of heaven refers to God's reign. It's not so much a place as it is God's reigning, where he reigns. And so when we look at this, we have to kind of look at, is it talking about, is that kingdom of God referring to the kingdom now in us, or is it talking about the future kingdom when Christ comes back? And we look at that, and the answer is yes, it's talking about both. So if we look at the Greek word that's used there for the kingdom, it's actually used to refer to the reign of the Messiah. It's the royal power, the kinship, dominion, and rule. So it's kind of showing us that, you know, we tend to have this, when we hear the kingdom of heaven, we tend to have this view of the physical things. Like, we try to put, like, a place to it. But it's saying it's not talking about that. It's where is God, where does God reign? And it's not to be confused with the actual kingdom, but rather the right or authority of the rule over a kingdom. So where are we, you know, where is God have the right and the authority to rule over? And that's in us. It's the royal power of Jesus as the triumphant Messiah that is our ruler. And we look at that and we see that his kingdom is within our hearts on earth now. If you look at Mark 1:8, it says, "I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And you know, as John came preaching the gospel, he said, you know, repent now, for the kingdom is near. He knew that Christ was coming, and so that as Christ came and died for us, we can, through our faith in him, he can reign in us now. And then we also see the other side of that the kingdom of God is in heaven has not come yet. We see the things of this, the, you know, Christ reigning in us here, but until Christ comes back, we won't see that ultimate, that full glory of his reign until he comes back. So we see that kingdom is not just a place, that it's literally anywhere God is ruling and king. So in both senses, either here or on earth, here on earth or within God's people and in heaven for eternity, God's kingdom is our treasure. We should be seeking that out. You know, I put up the picture of those kids running around chasing those Easter eggs. And the joy, and for anybody that has seen kids chasing after, you know, those eggs and just going after that prize, and the joy on their faces, they're running around trying to collect up all those eggs. You know, and we, just like those kids, when we chase that, when we find that treasure in that field, we should be running after that treasure with the same kind of joy as those kids do. You know, Christ says, you know, that we should come to him as little children, and, you know, let the little children come to him. And we should we tend to lose that a lot. We tend to lose that joy as the cares of our life kind of like start to pile up. We tend to lose that joy, you know. And if you look back at the previous part before we get into verses 44 in the first part of Matthew 13, it's talking about the seed going out and being spread across the ground, and how some fell on you know, hard soil, and some fell on rocky ground, and then some fell among thorns that rose up and choked it out, but then some fell on that good soil. And you know, when we find that treasure, we need to be like that. We need to be like that fertile soil that the seed sprang up and produced life. So since today is Palm Sunday, you know, I was thinking about it, and when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, the people were singing Hosanna, you know, singing his praises and singing his glory. But it was because they saw him as someone who was going to forcefully overthrow Rome and set them free from their oppression, from the earthly things. But they totally missed the true treasure of his, you know, entering. They focused on what was here and now and what Christ was going to do for them in the moment, and they weren't focused on that eternal treasure. You know, just like the verse said about, you know, the man found the pearls and he buried it so that no one would steal it away from him. And just like the merchant that was seeking out that one precious pearl, you know, they were not focused. They were focused on the immediate, what was going to be their treasure for the now. And we kind of see this in, if you look at Matthew 19, 20 through 22, there was a rich young man that came to Jesus and said, you know, I followed all of the laws. I've done everything. And what do I have to do? The young man said, I have done all these. I have kept what do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, go sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You know, and if we look back at the Matthew 13. In both situations, they joyfully gave up all that they had for that one treasure. They counted everything that they had as loss for that one treasure. And, you know, Amber was telling me one day about, she had found these statistics on the consumer mentality of our society today and how we store up our treasures now. And so some of the statistics, it says there are 300,000 items in the average American home. The average size of American home has nearly tripled in size over the past 50 years. 3.1% of the world's children live in America, but they own 40% of the toys consumed globally. The average American woman owns 30 outfits, one of for every day of the month. At least. Yeah. We're not even going to touch shoes. Shoes will probably be, yeah. And, well, the next one is about shoes. but it's a, the average American family spends $1,700 on clothes annually. And Americans spend more on shoes, jewelry, and watches, $100 billion, than on higher education. Over the course of the lifetime, we will spend a total of 3,680 hours of 153 days searching for misplaced items. Yeah. Think of all the time you could save if you just had an organizer. Yeah. And the research found we lose up to 9 items every day, or 198,700 in a lifetime. Americans spend $1.2 trillion annually on non-essential goods, in other words, items they don't even need. So, you know, we look at that and where we are putting our focus is displayed in where we spend our time, what we put our efforts in and resources to. And you look at Matthew 6:19-21. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For your treasure is your, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." You know, and we look at those statistics, and there's nothing wrong with having stuff. God loves to bless us, and we see that in Ephesians 1:3. And thanks, Tom, for reminding me of that one. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." But we look at it, and it's where is your treasure? We see, you know, God loves to bless us, but if we're putting our attention and our focus on those things, that's where our heart is going to be, is in those treasures, instead of on the ultimate treasure of Christ. So, if these things cause us to treasure Christ, then we serve them well. But if they distract us from Christ, who is the real treasure? The things, they're nothing but fool's gold. Because, you know, here, just like we read in the previous passage, that moth and rust will destroy them here. But so we see those things, and it's just nothing but fool's gold. It's like those TV shows that we see, all these people chasing after. It's just fool's gold compared to the true treasure that is buried within us. And so I was listening to J.D. Greer, and he was talking about this a little bit. And he said, it's like this, putting your treasure in a place actually makes you begin to love that more. That's not hard to understand. I once knew a guy who loved UNC. But then his daughter went to Duke, and he had to, And so he had to pay out $70,000 a year just to send his daughter to Duke. And after a while, he started cheering for the Devils. Because when you give $70,000 a year to something, that's where your heart is going to be. So if you want to love heaven more, if you want to love the gospel more, give sacrificially and watch how it transforms your heart. So, you know, one thing that we see is, you know, that we have to remember is, and we've talked about it before when we're going through Galatians, it's salvation. We can't buy our salvation through our works. It's not how much we can pay ourselves. We can't offer enough to purchase God's grace and salvation. And if you look at that verse, you know, back in Jewish time, it was very common for people, landowners, to bury their valuables, their belongings in the field, because they didn't just have banks down on the street corner like we do now. So that landowner knew what was out in that field. He knew the valuable treasure that was there. And he knew that all of the man's possessions that he could ever sell would not be enough to purchase that. But he freely gave it to him. Jesus's free gift of grace is like that. We never can have enough to purchase God's grace. But if we put our faith in him, he freely gives it to us and makes us co-heirs with him. And we go back to the parables, and again, you know, it's they were joyfully willing to give up everything they owned for that treasure. He didn't care about the cost. The cost was worth it to him. And John Bloom from DesiringGod.org said, "The man suddenly found something that transformed his whole outlook on life. The treasure restructured his values and priorities. It altered his goals. The treasure revolutionized the man." So, you know, when he found this treasure, it changed his whole life. It changed his whole outlook and his perspective of his values and priorities. And when we find Christ, when we come to know Christ as that ultimate treasure, we are transformed. We are no longer that man that we once were. We count all as lost to Christ. And we can see this in Paul when he writes in Philippians 3:8-9, when he talks about counting all he has gained as lost compared to knowing Christ. And we don't always like the cost. When our focus is on things we have, it's harder to risk those things for the sake of the gospel. You know, and it's hard sometimes, because I know personally, you know, I look at the cost sometimes, and it's a struggle to look at and say, you know, I give it all up. Nothing is worth more than Christ. And so, so So we have to lean on Christ to be that all. And we have to, you know, just like I said earlier, you know, when he buried that treasure, we are supposed to be constantly burying God's word in our hearts, that when we look at the cost and we say, it's too much, it's, I don't know if I can do it, it's then that we can say, you know, it is all of what God has done for me that it's worth it. And we see that in Luke 9:23-25. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? You know, we look at that Christ reign, you know, there's the here and the now, but eternity is coming. And, you know, are we giving it all up to him? And Randy Alcorn says, the best of life on earth is a glimpse of heaven. The worst of life is a glimpse of hell. For Christians, this present life is the closest they will come to hell. For unbelievers, it is the closest they will come to heaven. You know, and we see that so often. And so I was, you know, and it's God, like, it's amazing how God, like, uses things to strengthen you and reinforce things. Because, you know, this last week we went to the doctor's with Gabby and found out that she's deaf in both ears. And at first, it was like, I was devastated. I was like, you know, why? You know, how is this going to affect my life and raising her, and how is it going to affect her life? And I was just like, done. And God was like, you know what? He's like, count it all as loss. He's like, this is temporary. This is all things work out for my glory. And he's like, why is her hearing more important than what I've, you know, eternity? And it's like, and we have to have that, not only the here and the now perspective of Christ being our greatest treasure, but for eternity, because this life is so short. And so in all things, we have to trust that treasure, that he is worth every bit of what we can offer and what we can, giving everything up for him, no matter how hard it seems. And so he just kept saying, he's like, you know, keep looking at me as worth it. Keep pursuing me with that joy. Be, you know, count it all as joy. And be like that merchant that searches out that greatest pearl. So, you know, as we look at this verse, you know, we have to ask ourselves, you know, where is your treasure and your heart? Where's your treasure stored up? Is it in the things that are passing away, that are here today and gone tomorrow? Or is your treasure the fool's gold that we see now, or is it the real, true gold, that treasure buried in that field that we search after, and that just transforms us. Just like the man who sold everything for that treasure in the field. You know, are you willing to pay the cost of that treasure? Are we willing to lay it all down and say, whatever you require of me? And in the light of that price that God paid to redeem us is the price we are called to pay for our treasure. Worth it. You know, we're getting ready to celebrate, you know, Good Friday and then Easter, and we look at what the price Christ paid for us that we could so that we could have that treasure in him, so we could have the kingdom of God dwell within us. You know, because, you know, we are also God's treasure. He loved us so much that while we were that guy just walking around, just not even caring about what was in that field, he still came down and sent his son to die for us. And so as we go forward this week, you know, just keep that in mind. Just think about that. And you know, if really, you know, seek after God and seek after where your heart is. Where that treasure is, where your heart is pursuing. And you know, if you're hearing and God has revealed to you that the treasures that you seek is in the wrong place, or maybe you haven't even thought of the cost as being worth it. Maybe you look at it and you're like, well, I can give him some, but I'm not willing to give him all of me. You know, please don't, you know, don't walk away without really seeking God and seeking him as the true treasure. And, you know, the merchant sold everything and didn't think twice about it. Christ is absolutely worth everything that we have to laying down at his feet. So, as I close with that, just, you know, really think about, you know, just really seek that treasure in that field. Be that merchant who desires that greatest pearl. You know, and we sang a lot of the songs were talking about, you know, God's reign in us and how he, you know, we sang Hosanna in the highest and how he makes he makes broken things new. Like, we were broken people. But because of Christ, we're made new. And so as Christ came in on, you know, on that entering the city, they were singing his praise, but not because they wanted to lay down their lives and give him their all. They wanted him to make things easy, you know. But we're called to, you know, we have to see him in the glory, you know, who he is in his glory. Because someday he's coming back in all of his glory. And if our treasure isn't in him, then it's all going to be, yeah. Dun, dun, dun. It's going to be that. We're going to find out how false that gold was. So, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Lord, as we come before you to this week, Lord, and we see that man that saw, found that treasure and gave up all he had to gain it, Lord. Let us just pursue you with that same passion and that same joy and Lord, as we see, you know, as we come through the triumphal entry day, Lord, that we would see you as in all your glory as you deserve, Lord. That we see you as our ultimate treasure, that we are willing to lay all down for you, Lord. Whatever you ask of us, Lord. Lord, and we just thank you for your abundant mercies, Lord, that you would care for us enough that during this season we can celebrate what you have done for us through that cross, Lord. Lord, we just pray that as we go throughout our days, Lord, all the blessings you do give us, Lord, that we can take those and see your purpose, Lord, and see your gift, Lord, Father God, that we may have that heavenly perspective, Lord, that we see you reign in our lives. Lord, we just ask that you would go before us in all that we do. In your name, amen.